tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to Quick Charge. It's October 28th, 2024, and I'm your host, Joe Boris. We're just 3 days away from Halloween here on Quick Charge and basically the rest of the world, because that's how calendars work. Now, if you have vivid nightmares about things moving around by themselves, poltergeists, and cars being driven by themselves, bad news for you. Waymo has secured $5.6 billion in new funding before expanding its robotaxis to a number of new cities in 2025. For the last 3 months, Waymo has expanded its operations to cities like Los Angeles and San Francisco, announced plans to integrate Ioniq 5 BEVs into its fleet, and snagged Tesla's head of vehicle programs. Part of Waymo's success in development and expansion to new cities is the financial backing of parent company Alphabet, Google. This past June, Alphabet committed another $5 billion to be distributed over the next several years. Today, Waymo announced its Series C funding round closed at an oversubscribed amount of $5.6 billion, led, of course, by Alphabet. Now, if you're not excited about being driven around by a robot and you'd rather be driven around by a person, there's good news for you. EV owners are volunteering to drive you to the polls in at least 11 states. And if you're an EV owner and you're willing to drive someone else to the polls so that they can participate in democracy this fall, you can volunteer as well. We'll put a link to this in the show notes. I've referred to this several times. It is absolutely important that you get out and vote for whatever political party that you like, regardless of whether we agree with each other or not. Voting and having your voice heard is at the core of what we are as Americans. So definitely get out there and vote. And just remember, if you're voting for the orange guy, you probably suck, but you should still exercise your rights. Anyway, moving on from that, Ford and LG are set to move an EV battery production facility from Poland to Michigan. That's right. Because of Biden's IRA and other progressive measures to bring jobs back to the U.S. and bring manufacturing jobs specifically back to the U.S., a new agreement has been inked between Ford and LG that will see production of the EV batteries for Ford's Mustang Mach-E moved from Poland to Michigan in 2025. The stated goal here between the two companies is, quote, to capitalize on competitive market conditions. That's according to the actual press release from Ford and LG. They're going to move those batteries here so they can take advantage of America's various incentives. Over in Europe, LG plans to take advantage of incentives over there by supplying up to 109 gigawatt hours of batteries to Ford for its electric commercial vans that will be coming out and servicing Europe in 2026. Quote, these agreements attest to our experience and expertise in powering commercial vehicles with innovative battery solutions designed to handle extreme user environments. That's according to David Kim, the CEO of LG Energy Solutions. Capitalizing on our local production capacity, we will secure leadership in the European markets and deliver unmatched values to our customers through advanced battery technologies that effectively address diverse needs. Now, that is not a picture of a Ford, that's a picture of a Toyota, because while this article is ostensibly about Ford and LG, there's a lot of other players involved as well. Ford is not the only automaker entering into strategic agreements to build out American supply chains in order to qualify for up to $7,500 in new vehicle tax credits on EVs and PHEVs. LG Energy also announced that it was investing $3 billion in its Michigan facility as part of a separate agreement to supply lithium-ion batteries to Toyota that will be used in future U.S.-built EVs. In addition to the LG deal, Ford has a deal with SK On to build batteries in Kentucky for the updated E-Transit commercial van and F-150 Lightning pickup by mid-2025. Now, we talked about the IRA, tax incentive, rebates, things like that. And those obviously not only affect passenger car markets and commercial truck markets like the F-150 Lightning or Silverado EV, they affect big trucks as well. And that's why it's really exciting to see that Louisville has launched America's first 100% electric garbage fleet. In what the city is calling a national first, Louisville, Colorado, not Kentucky, held a ribbon cutting last Tuesday to celebrate the launch of a new all-electric residential recycling and waste collection fleet, which is already in operation on the city streets. Now, operating under heavy loads in stop-and-go conditions at low speeds and on a predictable route, electric vehicles are ideally suited to waste collection applications, especially in cities where the average day's work happens in well under 100 miles of driving. What's more, their quiet operation means that residents like young children and light sleepers are far less likely to be woken up at O-Dark 30 by a rogue operator with a Jake brake fetish. I'm really proud of that line. I hope you guys are too. We are so proud that Louisville will be the first city in the nation with a fully electric collection fleet, says Mayor Chris Lay. These innovative EV collection trucks will fulfill our trash, compost, and recycling needs, reduce noise pollution, and include larger windshields to increase each driver's field vision and lower greenhouse gas emissions, making our neighborhoods quieter, safer, and healthier. It's hard to argue with benefits like those. The question is whether lower operating and maintenance costs offered by EVs could offset the price tag and help the city save money in the long run. That's kind of one of those comments that sounds smart if you don't look into it too deeply. It's actually ridiculous. There have been a number of studies by the American Lung Association and the AMA, American Medical Association, that show an almost direct correlation between increased use of EVs and decreased ER visits due to pulmonary episodes or acute pulmonary illness, asthma attacks, things like that. Those diseases cost taxpayers a whole bunch of money, especially in terms of Medicare, Medicaid patients, and in terms of young children and effectively hours lost from their working parents who have to now take time off to ensure that their kids are okay. Those costs add up to the tens of millions, if not billions of dollars across an entire state, and at a city level are easily into the millions. So someone making that comment is incredibly short-sighted and not looking at the larger picture of what these things actually cost us, what diesel actually costs us, what the price of blowing diesel into the faces of our school children actually costs us. So everyone out there who thinks this is a clever argument or who wants to point at the price tag of these trucks and say, well, there's better use of our money. No, you're wrong. The good news is this is the kind of political discourse that is healthy and that is imperative to be held in any decent, free, democratic society. What is not up for debate is whether or not certain groups of that society are actually human beings or are not worthy of participating in the same rights and freedoms that other groups are. So if that's how you think, we know how you're voting, you probably shouldn't. I'd prefer that you didn't. But hey, political disagreements about how we spend our money, how we spend taxes are always beneficial. And that's why we welcome and included this criticism from Colorado Public Radio. With BMP customers getting real incentive money from the feds for medium and heavy duty EVs, and it's even more from state and local utility programs. However, there's a very minimal risk of falling on the wrong side of the cost benefit equation, no matter how you choose to weigh it in favor one way or the other. As for the trucks themselves, the Louisville fleet includes four McNeilus Volterra ZSLs, co-developed with insights from Republic Services. The trucks feature 360-degree cameras, an enlarged windshield for improved visibility, lane departure sensors, automatic emergency braking, and audible devices that alert nearby drivers and pedestrians to compensate for the quieter operations. Now, we have a couple of similar vehicles. They're actually based on the Mack EV platform rather than the McNeilus platform running around here in Chicago. And despite them having sensors and audio signals on there, with my earbuds in, I got the volume cranked up. I assure you, I am going to be killed by one of these trucks. If you don't like me, you want Mikey to come back, just wait. I will eventually be killed by one of these trucks. All your dreams will come true. The Volterra ZSL is available in 499 and 665 kilowatt hour battery applications and are eligible for even more incentive money from HVIP and the state of Colorado. The city of Louisville's commitment to sustainability is something we truly applaud, said Richard Copeland, Republic Services Vice President of Municipal Services. To be the first municipality in the country to adopt a fully electrified fleet showcases their desire to find tangible solutions to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and combat climate change. Our partnership exemplifies how we can contribute to a more sustainable world. Now, if you're like me, the biggest takeaway from all that was, wow, there is a Louisville in Colorado. I had no idea. Somebody had a great point in the comments. They said they turned off their search history. Obviously, that's going to be to clear out the cookies and not have their previous reading of this article influenced the search results. And they went in and they had to go through 50 search results on Google before they found one that had anything to do with something that wasn't Louisville, Kentucky. So that was kind of fun. And I'm glad one of you guys did that for us. I look forward to hearing more smart things in the comments. Now, one thing I'm not looking forward to reading about in the comments is nonsense about hydrogen. Hydrogen is not a great fuel for garbage trucks. It's not a great fuel for semi-trucks. It's not a great fuel for transportation at all. We've covered this many, many times, but we're going to continue to cover it because it's ridiculous. However, there are military applications where some of the drawbacks of hydrogen, like the extreme cost of hydrogen, the difficulty in storing it, and the limited infrastructure, make it a battlefield advantage, especially in Korea. And that's why this new hydrogen concept from Hyundai is taking back the tank turn. Now, what's the tank turn? That's what Rivian posted a video of in 2019. It was an overhead drone shot. They showed the truck spinning around in circles. Everybody lost their mind. Now, if you're building a cool EV, it has to be able to do a tank turn, or at least a crab walk, right? So now Hyundai Rotem, which is Hyundai's defense division, is building a hydrogen fuel cell powered tank. This is a full-on battle tank with stealth capabilities, and it is really, really cool. Diesel electric drive technology isn't new. It's been powering trains, cranes, and other big machines for decades. It's only relatively recently, though, that the U.S. military began experimenting with diesel electric hybrid tanks. That's the Bradley BHEV prototype that broke cover for the first time, at least publicly, in 2022. Now, that vehicle had a 20% improvement in fuel economy, increased operating range, and improved performance in terms of acceleration and handling, compared to the standard all-diesel Bradley. In addition to that, the Army projected that the Bradley BHEV would require reduced maintenance compared to its pure diesel counterparts. Hyundai Rotem's latest concept takes that idea a step further by removing the diesel generator altogether and replacing it with hydrogen fuel cells that not only send power to the electric motors driving the tank's treads, but do so quietly. What's more, because a fuel cell and battery pack equipped tank can operate without giving off a diesel exhaust heat signature, it effectively masks the tank from thermal vision equipment and heat seeking weaponry. So that is a huge advantage on a battlefield. You don't want to be tracked. You don't want the predator jumping out of the trees at you. Being able to hide that thermal heat signature is critically important. Now, in line with ESG trends, we are developing tanks powered by hydrogen fuel cells and eco-friendly energy source. That's according to a Hyundai Rotem official, which, look, calling hydrogen a green fuel is controversial at best. As we discussed before, it is impossible for hydrogen to effectively compete with battery electric when it comes to transportation. But again, there might be a case for its use in extremely energy-dense situations like severe-duty heavy equipment that can sink into mud or dirt due to the weight of its batteries, or military operations like this one. Hyundai certainly thinks so, and the concept shown here enhances the capabilities of the company's existing K2 battle tank. Bet you didn't know Hyundai made battle tanks with better acceleration, quieter operation, and radar-absorbing materials. The tank also features autonomous driving capabilities to reduce the threat to human assets, remote drone operation for reconnaissance and support, and a 130mm smoothbore gun. Hyundai plans to begin production of a similar machine sometime in the next decade with a fully electric tank platform online by 2040. Now, as you guys know, we like to end these off talking about the grid, talking about sustainability, talking about energy. Today is no different. The Cincinnati Zoo powers up with a 2.8 megawatt solar carport. This is such a great idea. There's nothing worse than coming back from a long day at a theme park or a zoo or something else that you're doing with your family. You open that car door in the middle of summer and you get that 130-degree blast of hot air. It's awful. It's bad for the car. Everybody hates it. This situation gives park visitors, zoo visitors, not only shade that keeps their vehicles cool, but also clean energy that not only powers the zoo, but goes back to the grid. The new solar carport features nearly 5,000 bifacial panels and uses string inverter technology, not just helping power the zoo, again, providing shade for 800 vehicles and eliminating 1,700 tons of carbon dioxide emissions. The facility's annual power bill is expected to drop by around $300,000 by 2030, a major decrease from $1.6 million in 2005. On top of that, the zoo is paying it forward through its community solar resiliency program. It's financing an additional 165 kilowatts of solar power for smaller installations at local churches, community centers, and schools to help fight energy poverty in the neighborhood. That's all we've got for today, October 28th. We are just 3 days away from Halloween, about a week away from voting. So, this seems to be a big one, guys. So definitely get out there and vote. Be sure to like and subscribe so you can catch my political rants tomorrow. And hey, have a great night.